In this one, we're going to really go kind of opposite. We're going to go to try to do some deficit irrigation variable rate with producers on conventional systems. And so how are we going to accomplish that? Well, the first thing with conventional systems you have to realize is that you need to work with pie-shaped zones. You either slow down or speed up in a zone, or you just irrigate one area first and ignore the others for a while. So that's how you can accomplish that even with a system that most people already have. I'm not going to go into how we delineate these zones. If you go and see Tim Grant's poster, he looks at all the data we collect on these fields to decide where to put these zones. And if you think about, if you understood what I said last, you'd say you could see how we might weight it towards certain soils over other soils to make those delineations. But I'm going to jump right to the point where we say we decided what our zones are, and here's where we put the monitoring stations in. And we're going to try to irrigate, say, these three zones differently with monitoring stations in each of those. And so that's what the Decagon monitoring stations look like. You can see the rain gauge up top. Here's a logger. You might notice there's no solar panels, just battery driven, and it's a cell phone. But you can't see the sensors that go into the ground. Why I threw two slides in is just a little reminder of things that happen in the field. I thought this big white thing sticking above the canopy would keep people from running in it without a flag, but that is not true. We had three of them in this field, and all three of them got hit. So we will put flags out next year. What kind of things are on that Decagon logger? Again, we saw the rain gauge where we can collect irrigation and rainfall right in the field under the pivot, so we can get both of those. We have put in temperature and humidity and solar radiation to calculate our own reference ET and adjust that for actual ET, but most times we're using a local station to do that, but you can put that on this system. And then you have the soil matrix potential, a little different than the watermark. This is Decagon's soil matrix potential sensor. And then again, we said here's the cell phone antenna, the logger without a solar panel. Just five AA batteries will last a season usually. So from the logger, we take this data via cell phone to the internet, and then we have to pick it up and use it, or it's not much use for us, right? So in the past, we were using a program I called MOIST, Management of Irrigation Systems in Tennessee, which basically, if I can orient you quick, it by your crop and your planting date, it would, through FAO methods, would calculate an actual ET for the growing season. And so you can see how it varies from at peak from 1 inch to 1.6, 1.7 inches, depending on weather and crop development. Then these are what you had to put on all the time, consistently each week or so, was rainfall events, and then these, that's the solid blue, and then these opens are irrigation events. That would conduct your water balance. Here where the red ET is more than the rainfall, you see the soil moisture is used up. Here where irrigation and rainfall are bigger than ET, the soil moisture goes back up, so it keeps this balance. And this is a line how far we think we can go without losing yield. So that works, and it's simple, but it's hard to get people to keep track of this a lot of times. So by connecting to the data logger in this new MOIST, we're calling MOIST Plus, we automatically update irrigation and rainfall, so you never have to do that again. It's always there. And also, once you're keeping that water balance, you get to check how your water balance is doing against soil moisture or soil matrix potential, because you have those sensors there now automatically also. And finally, we get a record of irrigation and all these things to use for cost sharing or just to study up how to irrigate better in the future. What's limiting about what we've done with the new version is it's an Excel spreadsheet, which I usually set up for the producer, attach it to an email, send it to him, and we both can watch it simultaneously through the growing season automatically. But I can't do that for everybody, so that's not a very good solution, big-term solution. And Excel's supposed to work on smartphones. You can put that on there, but the functionality won't work. They've cut out some functionality, so it won't work on a cell phone. So there's some work that needs to be done. What I'm going to do next, and I'm probably going to have trouble getting this in because it's hard, a little hard to organize. We put this MOIST system and Decagon system into two cotton fields this 2016. And so I wanted to just kind of give you a glimpse of what could be seen and the irrigation decisions that were made. So here is a field that's in the Mississippi bottoms. Actually, the Mississippi River is actually right here, and so there's been floods over time, and you got a mix of soils. This one doesn't have that much clay, has some clay, but sandy areas, silty areas, and so we wanted to irrigate the sandy areas earlier with more water, like the experiments we did in the past presentations said, and then hold off on these because we didn't want to lose yield by putting too much water on them, okay? And so here's a picture of what the MOIST spreadsheet would look like if you pulled it up on 621. We've already probably... we've squared, been squaring for a week or so. We've only had it in maybe the logger in about 2 weeks or maybe a little longer. So it would give you, and then there's three loggers I can show at one time on one spreadsheet. So logger one is located in the sandy area where we had the high irrigation pie. Logger two is in a sandy area, but it's an area that's more silt around it. We're going to just irrigate it like the silt. And logger three is in a silty area. So one, two, three. And then here's where we do the water balance, the ET, rainfall, irrigation. So all we had is about less than 2 inches of ET so far since we put the logger out. And we haven't irrigated these two at all, but we wanted to irrigate this one early. So you see what we're kind of accomplishing what we want. A low depletion, the matrix potential is fairly high, so we're keeping the soil moisture in this sandy area up. But out here, you can see because sand holds very little water, we have a 1.5 inch depletion already, and the top two layers are already dry, and this is almost pure sand down here. There's not much water left. This is going to start stressing really quick. But we don't want to really irrigate this because there's plenty of water left over here in the silt loam. Even though we've deleted 1.5 inches, there's probably another 2.5 inches to go before we're in trouble. And you can see even on the soil moisture that all the way down from 8 inches down through the profile, we probably have quite a bit of water left. But we don't want to put water on here and lose the yield in that area. So you can see in this we were accomplishing what we wanted to at this time. About a month later when we're past bloom, starting to fill bowls, here's the picture again. You can see there's been a lot more. There's been about 5 inches of rainfall. On this one, we've put more irrigation. Here we've just started to irrigate. And so you can see, again, the depletion is good in this, but not looking very good as far as the water balance in terms of this one outside. And again, I think the soil moisture, it's in different locations, but again, this is saying there's only a little bit of moisture at 4, even though that's green. This is ready to stress in a day or two. I mean, it's there. But at this point, we believe it doesn't hurt to irrigate the silt loam more, even though there's deep water left. So at this point, we start irrigating everything the same. So I really feel like we accomplished what we wanted to. If you go to Tim's session in the agronomy at 11, you'll see that we did show that we did get more yield out of this area than we normally do. So we were adjusting and making this overall a better producing field for this producer. So we feel pretty good about that. Now, we have a little more problem when we get into what we call uplands. And this is not a very good upland site, as typical as all of them are, because even though it's upland, you can't really see it so washed out. There's one little hill here, but the rest of this is pretty low areas. Okay, so the terrain goes like this. It slopes this way and this way and this way. So this is a small drainage ditch, and this is a bigger drainage ditch. And the soils, we could have brought a soils map up. The soils divide. This is a Waverly, very poorly drained, and a Phalaea, poorly drained. Okay, so they're both wet soils. And the producer said, you know I have trouble with this. I want to irrigate this differently. He told us he wanted to do that, so we wanted to work with him. So in this picture, then, we put one sensor on this side, which is a wet soil, but should be a little drier than this side, which is the number one logger. So the number one is wetter than the number two. So Waverly soil number one, Phalaea number two, wetter. And again, at the point about a month after the logger went in, there's been about 6 inches of ET. There's been quite a bit of rainfall. At least if we look at this one, 4 inches of rainfall, 1 inch of irrigation, and then a little bit of a depletion here. But these are silt loam soils, so they hold a lot of water, plus they're poorly drained. So the water balance has been telling us everything's fine, it's good. And if we'd have looked earlier, before this date, especially this one had been saturated for a long time, a situation we didn't really want at all. But it's finally dried out on both sides, and it dried out according to what we thought would happen. This one would be wetter than this one. But what's really shocking to me, this says we're good to go, and this is kind of screaming at us that the matrix potential is really low, down to 24 inches, like it needs to be irrigated. So, which do you trust? If you only had one thing, you'd trust whatever you had, right? So my feeling was this is poorly drained. These silt loams hold a lot of water. I usually trust the sensors over the water balance. In this case, I trusted the water balance. But the producer still felt the need to put some water on. And so I said, okay, let's put some on, but be careful. This is awful wet at times, okay? So that's a look towards the middle of July. If we take a look right before he's about to end irrigating at the middle to the end of August, you see things changed a little bit. We've had a lot more rainfall. We had about 6 inches of extra rainfall. Just a little bit of irrigation was put on. Depletions look good. This is for this sensor, this is saturation again. We're only putting like one swipe of the pivot on and all the rainfall I got, we're back into saturated conditions where he doesn't want to be. Okay? And we did finally penetrate some water from all this rainfall and irrigation, just hit the 4-inch sensor. That's all we hit. Now, yesterday's presentation, people thought my sensors weren't working, but I know these can be re-wetted. I don't think it's sensor. So what's going on? Here's my interpretation. I could be wrong. Since this is a wet area, they bed it. It's bedded up to get the water off and away from the plant, so it has a little dry area to work in, right? Because this is a poorly drained area. So if you bed something, even if you were, you probably wouldn't be no-tilling anymore. You'd be disturbing that soil structure. You get rain on it. It slicks over on top. Now you have something that's more impenetrable and a little mound that sends the water to the sides. And I put the sensors in the middle of the bed. I feel like the water's scooting around but still getting into the soil but not hitting the sensors. That's what I feel like is happening here. So what would I do different? Just like I recommend in furrow irrigation, sometimes I think you need to move from the middle of the bed closer to the furrow so you can pick up some water. That's one thing I do. How do I feel about what we accomplished with this farmer? Well, I feel bad that we didn't really... I don't think any water was ever necessary in this wetter field, but we got some on because we never got the variable rate thing going. We just didn't. We thought he was ready to do it, and we didn't help him reprogram it, so we need to work with him in programming that. I do feel good that if you just had the sensors out there and were looking at that fillet and all those red flags, you'd have been irrigating like crazy and hurting yourself, right? So I feel good like we've helped him there, but I think we can still do a little better. I got to keep moving here. So this is just a picture in time, real time, but if you want to go see how you got here, you can click on this graph and get graphs of the whole season up to this point. So you can see the sensors. And here's the irrigation or open bars, solid bars or rainfall, and the responding soil moisture. Just one point out of this, in these sandy, this is from the other field, these sandy soils, any little dry period, a sandy soil can dry out so fast. It doesn't take much at all. What do we need to do new or better? We've hit on this. We need a web-based platform so it's easily accessed. This new Moist Plus, management of irrigation plus soil tension. A map view or a list view where you can see an icon really easily and say, like in this situation, you're looking at a map, here's the pivot, higher ground, lower drainage area. You look at the water balance. It's yellow. It's starting to dry out. Top two layers are drying out, but you still got good moisture deep. It's warning you it may be soon time to irrigate. But you look down here and say, oh, down in this wet area, everything looks good. Just the 4 inches starting to dry out, so there's plenty of moisture down here. So it's flagging the guy pretty quickly and easily that I got to think maybe if it stays dry in the next couple days or week that I might need to get some irrigation here, but maybe not here. And then again, if you move a cursor over it, it'd like to see more information like what's the irrigation amounts, the rainfall amounts. If you click on it, you can see that seasonal view so you see how you got here. And then make it viewable for computers, tablets, and smartphones. And instead of rehashing all this in the summaries, I'll just take it. We've got a little less than 2 minutes to take some questions. Any questions or comments or... Yes?
Would you put redundant moisture sensors maybe in the middle of the furrow and in the middle of the seabed?
We could. And again, this is a production system, so every time you do that, it adds cost. Now, this system isn't real expensive. It's intermediate expensive. For every logger, it's $1,500, and then you get three sensors and a rain gauge, $1,500 or $1,600, and then just $75 a year. So to do that, since it's limited to five sensors, you just doubled your cost. You see what I'm saying? Unless you went two sensors, and one rain gauge, you could do something like that and keep your costs, maybe the cost just go up $150, right? So that might be good for us in this situation because we haven't worked with beds. Again, I was well aware of it with furrow irrigation. I just didn't think when we were putting water down on top that it'd be a problem. So, yes?
How did the cotton look at like 330?
That's it.
I mean, was it wilted?
No, well, we didn't. See, we're 5 hours away, so we don't see it very often. We get down a couple times and see it, but it was not stressed cotton. In fact, when we took it out in that area that where all those reds were, we were up to our chin. It was too high in cotton. There's no sign to us that there was stress on that cotton, and if anything, it was let grow too much. So I think we were right to trust the water balance more than the sensors. I think it's just we put those beds in there for a purpose, and they were working better than I expected.
Plans never lie.
So. Yeah, true.
All right, thanks. Let's thank Dr. Live for the two presentations. Yeah.